Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit in creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. I am Hillary Burns, and today I have a very special guest. His name is Len Ward. Let me say that again, Len Ward, and he is the managing partner of Comexis. And you're going to hear all about what Comexis is, and I think you're going to be really thrilled and want to know a lot more about Len and what he's doing. Welcome, Len.
Thanks for having me, Hillary. How are you?
Good. So I know we're talking about a topic that everybody's talking about, but I think you have a, you know, I don't know if it's a different perspective. Would you say it's a deeper perspective? What would you call it?
I think deeper. I've been, you know, following this space for quite some time now. I mean, it's impacted me so much so that we've actually pivoted everything our business was typically doing over 100% to AI. Although I wouldn't say it was a quick pivot. It took us about 3 years to finally fully embrace AI.
Okay, so what were you doing before? Just marketing?
Comexis, you know, we were a full-service digital agency. So everything from Google ads, Facebook ads, video, content writing, search engine optimization, website building, all the classic things that a company would come to us when they needed to market their product or their services. We would help them do that digitally and actually offline as well. We did do billboards and some TV commercials and so forth. So we were kind of a traditional advertising agency.
Wow. Okay. So then what made you pivot 3 years ago?
Back in 2016, 2017, I actually started playing around with a thing called IBM Watson, which a lot of people in our industry started playing around with. You paid a management subscription fee or a monthly fee, and you kind of were able to play around with it. The crux of it was all the information it was getting back to me was wrong, and it made no sense whatsoever. But what I did learn...
Wait, it was wrong?
It was very complicated for me to understand. Okay. And I was really trying to understand what it was doing. But everybody who's, if you're any kind of a sci-fi fan or read anything of business, everybody's heard about automation and AI. It's not brand new. But what I was thrilled about was, I'm like, okay, what IBM's trying to accomplish, where they're trying to actually put a brain behind your data that can talk to you. I said, if they're able to do this, I'm like, this is going to be unbelievable for marketing. And then, you know, I guess it was a few years ago when ChatGPT released their very first model. That's when everybody went in and started playing around with it. And you saw the vast differences between that and Google. And even the first model, while it blew you away unlike anything else, it's not even remotely close to what the new model is right now. But
wait. Just because I'm not versed in this. So IBM Watson was obviously IBM. Who did the ChatGPT?
ChatGPT is a company called OpenAI. It actually started way years ago with Sam Altman, and Elon Musk was one of the other people. He was one of the founders as well. That's why Elon Musk and Sam Altman do not like each other. Yes, so I know Elon Musk.
Wait, they don't like each other?
No, not at all. Not even a little bit. There's a very heated rivalry now between those two ever since Elon has left the company. So is he crazy? He is, but he's a genius. It's for the stuff he's invented. You can't take it away from the guy, whether you like him or not.
So when did he, I know this is off the topic, but I'm just curious. When did Elon leave? Before it became big?
Yeah, before it really started getting big. And Elon's big push was he wanted to make sure it stayed as a nonprofit. He felt as if that kept it, you know, safely chained up. And then if it ever moved to a for-profit, we'd have a problem. Elon has long forecasted that AI could be a major, major problem for humanity if we don't pay attention to it. And now that it's a lot of the AI models are moving into a for-profit model, I think that has some people concerned because you're no longer going to think about safety. And it's going to be more of a race to, you know, better output, more users. How can we monetize it via advertising and so forth? And that was always Elon's contention. The flip side to that, Sam Altman's contention, was that Elon left the company. You know, he's trying to build his own thing, which is what's called Grok, and that he's just kind of jealous of how far OpenAI's went without him. So whoever's right and wrong is irrelevant, so long as he stays okay, to be honest with you. So
how far, I mean, because ChatGPT is pretty good. I'm assuming it's way better than IBM Watson. Yeah. How far did Elon take it before he left?
You know, I don't know that answer. I believe he's been out of there for about 5 years now. And I could be wrong. I'm sure somebody watching this maybe knows the definitive dates. But it's been some time, all since the new models have been updated. And Sam Altman has kind of become a household name. He's the CEO of OpenAI. He's been long gone, Elon. I think it's before he bought Twitter.
Okay. All right. So now, again, for a person who's not following, does chat GPT have any competition?
Yeah, their number one competitor right now is Google, which they have a product called Google Gemini. So it's the same type of output. The other two competitors they have are Meta, believe it or not, Facebook. It's actually called Llama. You can go in there and use it, meta.com. They actually have something called Claude, which is run by Anthropic. And then the last one would be Elon Musk's Grok, which is run on Twitter. The main ones that are emerging right now, though, is OpenAI, which is ChatGPT, and Google's Gemini are the two that are kind of emerging, with OpenAI having a sizable lead. That is why a lot of people are beginning to wonder if Google is going to be the next Eastman Kodak, as we all know what happened there. And that's not off the table. That absolutely could happen.
So you mean Google could disappear?
Not disappear, but become less relevant. You know, if you were to tell people 20 years ago that eBay was going to be destroyed by a company called Amazon, you literally would have been laughed out of a room. If you would have told people that, you know, no one was going to buy film anymore and that everything was going to be on a little device, you know, and Kodak was not going to be the same anymore, you would have been laughed at. What's happening now is that when you go to Google, it's search and retrieve. So I'm searching and I'm trying to retrieve information. You know, you got to look through all the websites and try to get to it. And you're like, okay, well, here's what I want to do to solve my problem. So think of Alexa, think of Siri, but like times a billion. ChatGPT is solving your problem. It's eliminating that surf the web type, you know, mentality where you're just looking through web pages upon web pages. If you tell it what your problem is, it already has crawled all those web pages, you know, dozens and dozens of times, maybe hundreds of times. And now it just literally tells you what your problem is. Here's your solution. And then it drops down. Then you can start interacting. It's creating a much smarter consumer, a much smarter individual. So when they are facing a problem, they're looking at something, they're vastly more educated than when they were searching. Just meaning because they've gotten to the actual root cause of the problem. I'm not saying they know more about the topic, but that's the fundamental difference. So it's search retrieve over to solve my problem. And humans being inherently lazy, which we all are, we want you to solve our problem so we can get off to the next thing. And that's where Google, they have that same product, but it's really clunky to roll out. You know, they make $50 billion a year or $50 billion a quarter just on advertising. So they're trying to save their business model, adapt to the new world. And I think it's not going as well as they thought it was going to go. And Google's seeing some hiccups. I'm not saying that they couldn't win. They definitely have more money. But it's just almost every step that they've went along the way has been a misstep. Although their products, in my personal opinion, Gemini is a superior product to ChatGPT. But just the rollout has been really best.
How do these things, ChatGPT or Gemini, whatever, get the data? Like, how can they get it so fast?
That's a good question. So it's just it's supercomputers and a superclusters powered by NVIDIA's chips, which everybody's heard of NVIDIA because you want to buy that stock.
Wait, say that again.
it's NVIDIA. NVIDIA, NVIDIA. So that is a stock, probably the most popular tech stock that people have been buying over the last 18 months because their chips fuel the power of these GPTs. That's why people have just keep buying their stock, because if you can't, this whole revolution we're going through is literally on the back of NVIDIA, the company NVIDIA. They're the main player. You don't have NVIDIA chips, you're not going to be that strong. So that's how it's able to process this enormous amount of information within seconds.
And NVIDIA is the only one with this chip.
Well, there's other companies that have chips like NVIDIA, but nothing as powerful as what NVIDIA is putting out. So their chip is just so vastly superior to other ones. Is it going to last? No. Do I think, you know, other companies are going to make their own chips and NVIDIA will lose market share? Yeah, that's America. That will happen. But as of now, NVIDIA is the absolute main player when it comes in.
How can a chip be that powerful?
You got to put all that information into one router, and it's able to digest that information and spit it out to the areas in which it's got to go to. I know AI, but that's way above my pay grade. Those individuals are, the intelligence level there is, I don't even know if I can have a conversation without feeling stupid 2 seconds into this way. So
that's incredible. I can't even, that.
Brilliant people running.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. So you back to 3 years ago, mm-hmm. you tried IBM Watson, mm-hmm. and then what?
We always heard the murmurs of automation was coming to marketing. We were starting to see products that kind of had loose early adaptations of you know, automation, meaning they could create ads on the fly. You know, like you create image ads really quick. It could rewrite content really quick. You know, we were looking at it because you look around your room, you know, and you have 15 content writers employed full time, five to 10 designers employed full time. And that's great. That's how advertising always was. But then you had these automated machines that were beginning to do it for you. It wasn't nearly as good as what our team was doing, but they were starting to gain. And that was what I saw with Watson. So I'm like, if they're able to process data and talk to you about the data, and then the next step is you're able to do automation, meaning it was able to execute the tasks from that data to an automation standpoint, all with the clack of a couple keys, I'm like, where are we going to be in the ad world? Like, advertising, you bill for hourly rates on design, development, strategy. Well, this is doing all it for you. So my thought was, we quickly pivoted where I thought, I'm like, okay, having the days of having 100 people at an agency, I didn't have that. I mean, my peak, I was close to 30, but having 30 people work for us wasn't going to be optimal. So it was more, okay, we have to start thinking about being a pilot. Like, you have to start becoming an expert on these platforms and learn how to pilot these platforms and then learn how to create workflows in these platforms that customers can see the actual business outcome. So, you know, we went from like a true development shop on websites and marketing to AI workflow installers, which is what we became, because that's what was, you know, required of us. And without rambling, I feel like marketers have a little bit of an edge on this, although we're the ones that are losing our jobs the most. Like, entry-level marketers are in trouble right now. A lot of marketers, when they haven't adapted, there's a problem. But we understand business processes. We understand branding. We understand messaging. We understand what consumers want to hear. And when you think about that, when you kind of take an old-school SEO person, they know how to talk to these things, and they know how to write the right metadata where these things can understand. And so I do believe we have a little bit of an advantage because we have typically always written for like what's called an algorithm, which is Google. And now we're just writing for a different type of algorithm, which is solve my problem. So we have a bit of an advantage. So I know it sounds really weird, but marketers, when you do it right, are the ones I do think will lead the AI charge. But it doesn't mean because you came up with a crafty line that you're going to be it. I think these agencies that have like, you know, full diversification are the ones that can really embrace it. So, bit of a rambling point there, but that's
no, it's
kind of how I got there.
So if I can do such and such with ChatGPT, and it can come up with
solutions, right?
Solutions, okay. What then do you? And I'm not saying you don't. I'm just wondering, what is the piece that you then add to that?
So what we do is we build. Well, first and foremost, what we do is we screen everything that comes back. You don't want to put anything out into the wild unless you have an eye on it. So I do believe...
You mean for accuracy?
Accuracy, to make sure it makes sense. I do believe humans are going to... You're going to be what's known as a co-pilot, although Microsoft actually calls their product Co-Pilot, which is an AI product. We could touch on that later, but I believe humans are going to be co-pilots of this, and they're going to look at the data that's coming out of the AI. They're going to look at the automation that's happening, and they're the ones that's going to green flag it or red flag. I think that's what's going to happen. As they learn, as they get smarter, I think the co-pilots are going to be able to handle more and more. You know, they'll be able to run more and more data through it, you know, and then they'll start trusting these things. But that is where we come in, number one. Number two, for these things to work right, you do have to train them. It's not like, hey, I'm just going to throw something at you and you're an expert. They're not there. They have to be trained. So there is an enormous amount of data that we put in the back end of these things, which is called like a custom GPT, where it gets to know everything about your business, everything about your industry, marketing goals, all of that. We build all that all the way out. And then we start running your campaign through there. And then as the campaign's running through there, we're then screening it to make sure it's right. If something's wrong, we go back in and train it and so forth. So I guess you could basically say we're basically pilots of the AI is what we do. And then we build AI workflows for clients that actually make sense. I know it sounds complicated, but when I show people, they're like, oh, it's not that hard. I'm like, no, it's not. It's just,
when you say workflow, that's the product. What exactly is that?
So think of a workflow. So let's just say, so I'll do marketing first. So the marketing first is, somebody's like, okay, I want to sell 150 units of XYZ product and I need it sold this quarter. Okay. We then drop down and we create a workflow like, okay, what's the total addressable market? What does the consumer look like? How are we going to talk to the consumers? What's the right branding message? What's the right image? All the way down to what's the type of investment? What platform should we be on? And it goes all the way down. So we build all of that out. So once we enter in, client one wants 150 units sold in this quarter, it runs all that data all the way through. And it comes out and is like, this is your strategy. These are your tasks. This is the type of creative that I want to go out there. Implement these tasks, bring the task back. We'll see how close we are on the 150. And if we have to make adjustments, we'll make adjustments on a weekly or monthly basis. So it's installing that workflow. So when we come into a company, they would have an internal team of maybe 5 to 10 people doing that or another agency working. Now we come in and say, we're going to install this for you. And so long as there's one person to implement, and I'll come back to that in a second, or two people to implement, that's all you need. So you can remove all of those costs. This is all you need.
So you build this thing for them. You put in all their data. You build in, okay, we want to do 150 for the quarter. And then I don't know if there's other questions in there. And then it comes out with a model that comes out with the client.
Yeah. And on the back end, we install all types of, it's basically a custom GPT. So you're building your own, you go to ChatGPT, right? So there's a way which you can build your own one very simplistically. You just have to know how to train it, how to talk to it. And that's what we do. We build a custom GPT that literally thinks they're a customer one. They actually think they work for the customer. They think they're the CMO. They know, we've had clients laugh because they know more about their company than our clients know within seconds. Once we upload a few reports and then we do the right training. The secret where we work is we have 20 plus years in sales and marketing experience, and we've run thousands of campaigns. We've launched thousands of websites. We've documented all of our processes and procedures. We have drilled that down to 40, 50 pages of this is what we believe marketing fundamentals are. So we do training on the Comexis marketing fundamentals out of the gate. So it does say, okay, it's not just guessing at it. It's like comparing all of our fundamentals and then searching everything else out on the web to verify if our fundamentals are accurate or not. And if not, they'll come back and say, make these changes. So we start there. And then we layer the brand, the customer's brand all the way up top. Then we layer the industry in there. And there's a series of documents we add. And then we say, this is the goal. It takes all of that information and then spits everything out. And our team goes to work where we can either implement it, you can implement it, or we both can implement it. But the one thing we do is we do manage it for you and make sure it's running. I know it sounds like overwhelming, but once we build it and the client sees it, they're like, oh, okay, I get it. It's not as hard as
it. So is it like if ChatGPT is this huge thing, where is the custom one? Is it like a, is it, where is it?
It's built within their hangar. So if you have an account at like ChatGPT and we send you the link to your marketing, which is called the marketing brain. If we send you the link to the marketing brain, You can literally access that marketing brain all within the ChatGPT ecosystem.
Wow.
We offer demos for clients because we have clients say, hey, can you run me through it real quick before we commit to anything? I have no problem. You know, we do a quick demo for somebody and say, this is what it looks like.
Wow. And do other people have other, I don't know if you know, but other marketing firms created this kind of thing?
No. Some have, some haven't. The biggest mistake marketing firms are making right now, this, what we've created is an agency killer. I tell people, I have very good friends in the agency world. I don't come across saying this because this isn't my brain. We created the workflow. But when we line our AI marketing stack up against any agency's marketing stack out there or anything they're doing that's not AI, it's not even a match. Ours just trumps it. Can another agency build it? Yeah, there's no barriers to entry. But the fundamental problem.
Would you say that because you started 3 years, like you got on before everyone else? Or do you think, I mean, maybe you're just a genius. I'm sure you are. But you saw, you know, it was like when COVID came, there were some businesses that pivoted, made a lot of money. Others went out of business. They were just sitting there like Kodak, I guess. It seems like you got on the first wave, but whatever. You know, you had your process, you had your, I don't know, your work, like you knew what it was to, you knew what there was to implement, I guess, to create this marketing brain. I don't know. Does that sound anything accurate?
Yeah, you know what it is? I think being 52, going to be 53, I've been in the business world for a while. And I think the one thing that I've unfortunately been involved in is I've seen a lot of like catastrophic changes in businesses. I was in Wall Street in the investment banking team during the dot-com bubble. I saw what this was going to do. I saw people walk into a room and say, you're going to start buying things on your phone. If you were to tell people that in 1997 and 98, they're buying things on the phone. Like, it's like something out of the Jetsons. You're like, it doesn't even make any sense, you know, but like that. So I saw the upending happen there. Then when I was part of an e-com startup, I saw like how things were changing dramatically with Google and how, you know, like things in the e-com world was getting upended. So I guess what moved me over here and how I was able to look at it, and I am sure there are other agencies that have something very similar to this. I'm sure there are. But the fundamental difference I have with agency owners, and I get into it every time with them, is you are using AI as a tool when you need to be using AI as an intelligence platform, not a tool. It is a tool, but it's smarter than you. It's smarter than me. It's smarter than everybody in the room, as long as you understand how to talk to it. Once you leverage the intelligence of AI, opposed to it being just a tool, at that point, you now have one of the smartest operating things on the planet running a marketing campaign, running internal processes for you. Where everybody else is saying, hey, I have an AI tool, or I'm trying to do this, trying to do that. Your tools are irrelevant because as AI grows and I type in, this is what I want, it's going to create those tools for me on the fly. Or you're going to say, my business outcome is I want 150 units sold, right? Like we just said about that.
Yeah.
What's coming in the next 18 months is I'm going to go in, train it, talk to it. It's going to run everything through to the end. And it's going to build those tools all the way through. And it's going to start implementing what it wants done via the tools it's just built. So people are building their entire agency and business future on AI tools when it's going to build it for you. You're going to get to the point now where there are tools right now where if you go in and simply tell an AI platform what you want from a PowerPoint presentation, it will create a beautiful PowerPoint presentation in under 30 seconds that no human's going to match. You have to edit a little bit, clean up the photos a little bit, but when you go in and basically say, okay, you know, I need a presentation now. Now that you've given me the strategy, I have to go to leadership with the presentation. Presentation doctor is going to be waiting for you. So there's two reasons why agencies have it wrong. The first one is they're using AI as a tool and they're not truly leveraging the intelligence. And the second thing is they keep trying to optimize for a collapsing market, which is Google search. So they're trying to do SEO better. They're trying to do pay-per-click better. They're trying to do everything better on Google when Google is beginning to fade. You need to pay attention to how people are searching on ChatGPT. That's how you have to start looking at marketing. And a lot of agencies don't want to do that because nobody knows the answer right now. Me, not anybody. And I find it unethical that agencies are not having this conversation with their clients, saying we're going to start losing leads. SEO is not going to be what it was. Pay-per-click is going to start pulling back. Everything that we've built our business on with Google is in peril. Not today, not tomorrow, but in 18 months or less, we have a problem and we need to prepare, leverage AI intelligence to figure out how to get this done. Collectively, we're all going to figure out what the next world of marketing is. Right now, nobody has a real answer. I think we have some thoughts on where it's going. We have some ideas. We even are thinking about how to optimize to make sure that we're businesses are showing up in ChatGPT, which we're actually doing some success right now. But that's the fundamental reason why our product's a little different than other agencies. And I'm sure there might be an agency owner listening right now saying, I have the same product. You may. But the average agency, they're still finding a way to try to game Google. And it's like whistling through the graveyard. Those days are rapidly coming to mind.
So when I say, hey, well, it's going to do it, but hey, Siri, you know, I'm on Google and I'm saying, hey, Siri, blah, 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 how are this? Yeah. What is that using?
Oh, that's just doing.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not really talking to you. Okay, go on.
So when you go to Alexa or something like that, that's just powered by Bing. That's just, it has the ability to communicate with a search engine and it's bringing back stuff for you.
It's
like leveraging a search engine. Like a lot of times you may be looking for an answer. You'd be like, you know, hey, Siri, I have a question on XYZ. Hey, I found this for you. And all it is pulling up search results on Bing, which is, you know,
Bing is
Microsoft's search engine.
Oh, Microsoft. Okay, so yeah. It's not even Google.
No, I think, you know, I have not even used those two in so long. I don't even know. I know they use Bing, but I don't know. I think Alexa still uses Bing as well. So
when you say that SEO is, you know, not going to be the thing anymore, mm-hmm. is that because, and I'm, again, not, I don't know much. Is that because right now it's using Google and Google's not going to be the main?
Well, I think it goes back to the search engine optimization is where your people are optimizing your content for a search engine. So I'm searching and I'm retrieving my information. That's search engine optimization. LLMs, large language models, which is ChatGPT. So think of this. LLM is the equivalent to internet. Google is a search engine. ChatGPT, you know, is like an LLM. So I don't know if I know. It's complicated. But SEO is going to go away because the majority of people are going to start using ChatGPT for everything, searching something, looking for anything, solving a problem, whatever it may be. You're going to be using ChatGPT.
So ChatGPT can use the whole internet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just doing a search engine, what is that? Is that a very small part of the...
Google will still crawl every single website it has, every piece of data it has, and it will bring you back your 40 blue links that you can read through for an answer. But what ChatGPT does is it distills all 40 links and is like, this is your answer.
Okay.
So, you know.
Big difference.
It's a very big difference. Think about the time you're going to save.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. That makes sense.
Yeah. So... Just to finish on the SEO, like a lot of people are, search engine is, you know, it's dying or not dying. It's going to be called a different term. Some people are going to call it generative optimization with LLP. It's just search engine optimization. The entire goal of it was to game the system of Google to try to get your website to rank, whether you thought it should have ranked or not. That was it. You know, well, you're not going to try to outsmart a large language model, you know, because you wrote really, really crafty content. It's going to be able to figure that out. So what does SEO look like in the next couple of years? I don't know. Would I stop doing SEO? No. I still think that it's relevant, but if you've been making a lot of money on SEO, if you're an SEO person, or if your leads have been coming in from SEO in the next 12 months, you better have a new plan because that plan will not work in 2026 anymore.
So I get like all these emails saying, you know, you have a channel and it looks good. However, I can help you, blah, 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 optimize it. So those people, I mean, I don't know if they're good. I have no idea. I usually just delete them, but they're going to have to find a new spiel.
Yeah, I mean, if they're trying to optimize your YouTube channel or something, that's a little bit of a different game. That is a different type of search engine.
Okay.
YouTube. which YouTube, by the way, is a search engine. A lot of people forget that, but it is. You could optimize that. There might be ways in which they can play around if you're on TikTok and Instagram, you know, which, by the way, I think is going to actually, while always was valuable, I do believe the platforms of TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube Shorts is really, really going to grow. It's already massive right now, but I think a lot of people are going to be purchasing products and finding products via those types of platforms. I really believe that. I believe the growth in YouTube or TikTok shopping, Instagram stores, I really believe a lot of money is going to move over to those platforms if you're selling a product. I think that's how people are going to find products. It's coming. I mean,
and what is that replacing?
I think it's going to replace searching. I think it's
replacing the Google search.
It's going to a point, it's going to replace the Google search. So, like,
wow. What about Amazon? How does Amazon?
Amazon will be fine. That's a totally different entity. Yeah. I mean, if you're like forever, you would always put like, you know, certain types of banner ads to try to draw awareness to a product, right? Like that's what you would do. You would put a banner ad or you'd sponsor a banner ad somewhere on a website that people may go to in the hopes that you're going to sell, you know, product one. And now the algorithms are so good, especially on TikTok, where it knows what you're following and knows what you're engaging and knows what you're looking at. These algorithms are getting built so good that it knows the things you like, and it's going to know what you need, like before you even know you need it. So you're going to start noticing how things are popping up, and like, you're like, wait a minute, now I need that. I need that. These algorithms are beginning to understand.
Beetroot. I just bought beetroot on TikTok. Because the girl selling it, this Chinese doctor or some, you know, kind of doctor woman, she was very convincing, and I went boom, boom, boom. I had bought three, not just one, three.
Yeah,
I don't even know if it's real.
Yeah, that's
no idea if it's like poison. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
well, once that's the thing, and once you like, you know, if you follow anything or like a weight loss driver on TikTok or an influencer for working out, once they know that, now they're off to the races because you're engaging, you're watching it. So it's almost like they're sitting in a room with you. You're watching TV, right?
Yeah.
In an old school fashion. And they're just writing notes about every single thing you're watching. Once an algorithm has something on you, it knows what to sell you.
Now, I know this is off the topic, but how do I know this is even safe stuff or I don't?
Oh, you don't. What you bought? You have no idea. I don't think there's anything. There's no TikTok. A lot of stuff it sells junk. It's okay. It's not, you know, it's not, I wouldn't say it's, you know, quality, you're not walking in with quality, you know, Black and Decker type, you know, products or Mercedes-Benz products. I mean, it's junk. It's going to get better now.
I bought three instead of one. Do you know what I mean? I don't.
That's the deal. Yeah,
I don't even know if I can, if I should put it in my body, right? But
like, it might just be Flintstone vitamins, right? You know, you'll never know. We'll never know. You just don't know, but. You're noticing, like I heard QVC, is it QVC? Yeah, like QVC and like the shopping type networks, they're now doing TikTok Live. So they're starting to run their shows through TikTok Live. So a lot of, that's what it is. When you have a really good product or a really good service, you're going to start seeing Ford on there doing a live, showing you a Mustang or a Bronco. You're going to see BMW doing that. You're going to start seeing Nike having a live show talking about their sneakers. Like that. And if you're interacting with that live and you're looking at it or share it to somebody, now it's like another check mark where TikTok or Instagram or Facebook's going to know you're following that stuff, and that's how they're going to build it upon you. So,
wow, that's crazy.
Just to wrap it up, I know it sounds crazy, but somebody would have told you about ChatGPT 5 years ago, you would have thought they were crazy. But
right. The
algorithms are getting so good that you searching for a product because you have a problem is going to get less and less, and the algorithms are going to know when you have it. They're going to start putting stuff in front of you long before you know it.
Wow.
Before anybody starts screaming privacy, the minute you turn your phone on any day of the week, your privacy is out the window. So,
like, there's no, I mean, like, in terms of what I just bought, I don't know if it's, like, it could be poison, right? And who would I even go, like, I mean, is it safe? Who knows, right?
You don't know.
But they got me.
Yeah.
They told me what I wanted to hear. This is going to do this, get you better sleep. And I'm like, okay, bing.
Yeah.
And now I don't even know where to go to.
that's why I think what you do is, like, when you look at a product like that, you immediately flip over to a product like Perplexity, which is, if you've never used Perplexity, it is the new world search engine. So it basically searches for things for you the way you would on Google, but it uses ChatGPT's power behind it. It's really good. It's called Perplexity. You can download the app. Anybody, if they've never used it, every time I tell people, the minute you use Perplexity, you will never go back to Google again anymore. Like, you only use Perplexity.
But does it do a quality check or no?
Well, what it does is it harvests every single thing online, and you would say, I just bought this product, or before I buy this product, what is your thoughts? And it'll come right back in right away and say, boom, 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 this is why you should or shouldn't buy the product. It's crawling all websites out there. So it's really, really good. Voice chat rebuy.
Yeah. All right. We need to take our commercial break. We're a little bit late, but this has been so good that I didn't want to stop. Okay. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. K-I-K-O-R-I.
Hey, it's Hillary from Getting Real with Hillary. I want to share something really powerful with you today. Jerry Dale was deep in the music industry, providing girls, drug, and gambling opportunities, all while justifying it as making a living for his family. He questioned his path, but then God turned his life completely around. Now Jerry's on a mission to redeem and help others find their way back from the dark side. Jerry's book, Music, Porn, and Jesus, A Journey to Redemption, is his raw, real-life memoir of how God rescued him from the music industry, the porn world, and his own rebellion. It's not just a story. It's a testimony of grace, hope, and freedom. Visit IamJerryDale.com to get your copy and join a movement of redemption. If God can do it for Jerry, he can do it for you too.
Hey, it's Hillary from the Getting Real with Hillary show. Life can be messy, raw, and real. And sometimes we're afraid to feel vulnerable. We're afraid to be that real self. Well, that's exactly what the Getting Real with Hillary show and Getting Real movement is all about. Being our true selves. Every week, I bring you stories of transformation, authenticity, and hope. People getting real with their struggles, their faith, and their breakthroughs. So don't miss a thing. Subscribe to my weekly newsletter today. You'll get stories, links to everything new, and how to create a life you love every week directly to your inbox. You can also find my books on Amazon, my courageous and riveting memoir, The Second Piece of French Toast, In Case You Feel Stuck in Your Life and want to get inspired. How I came out about my no sex life and my marriage in my second book, Real Talk. That one will get you speaking up in ways you've been too afraid to do so, and really creating amazing freedom. And my third book, How to Stop Fixing Yourself and Start Having Fun, the name is called Your Bullshit is Your Blessing. Find links to everything and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Getting Real with Hillary, and you'll find the links in the header. So visit, and you can also visit gettingrealwithhillary.com, because the real you is worth it and wants to come out.
And thank you, as always, to our sponsor, KikoriApp.com. If you would like to make a difference for your children, how they learn, create community, I can't say enough about KidCoreyApp.com. And, you know, you heard the commercial. Go to their website. Tell your schools, if you're not a school person, tell them, got to get this and bring it in, because it really helps children learn. It helps them socialize. It helps connect them from their heads to their heart, where they can learn. So do that. I'm giving you an instruction. And then my books, real fast. My third book, Your Bullshit is Your Blessing. How to Stop Fixing Yourself and Start Having Fun. If you think there's something wrong with you and you've been working really hard at it, try this. You will accept yourself and just have a good time doing it. So I recommend that one highly. This one is my second book. I'm going backwards. Real Talk. How to Say the Things You've Never Said so you can have the things you've always wanted. If you have trouble speaking up, go to my website and check this book out. I have a Getting Real process, which helped me create a lot of freedom in my life, because I really was afraid. I was a people pleaser and afraid to speak up, and it works. And my first book, The Second Piece of French Toast, this is my memoir for when I was stuck. I was definitely on the other side of life where it wasn't fun, didn't know how to get out. And this is how I got out and created the other books as well. So it's a courageous story. It's very honest and real. And you can find them all on Amazon. And now I bring back Len Ward for this fascinating conversation about, wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to call it. AI? Do we even call it AI anymore? Or does it have a new name?
It's a rapidly changing world. Yeah, you can bounce off a million different topics in it. It's changing a lot.
All right. Well, let's talk about your company, because that's what you know we're here to promote. Why would someone call you? How do they find you? You know, obviously you have this brain that you created. I think, you know, we've already talked about that, but go ahead. I'll zip it and you start talking.
That's fine. It's Comexis.com. They can always go there, look at the website. As a matter of fact, we have a new iteration of the website next week, but a little simpler to understand. You're coming to us because you are a CEO, you're a business owner, you might be the chief technology officer, you might be the CMO, and you're coming to us because you have two thoughts in mind. You want to try to move your company into an AI first company. And secondly, you are aware, you're one of the few people that are aware that Google search is changing, and you want to start making the changes now before that happens, and that you're ready. So, and a lot of forward thinking people that I just mentioned in those title roles are having those conversations right now. You come to Comexis. We then, you know, modernize your campaign to make it an AI-first campaign. We build an AI marketing stack for you. We also have what's called a chat ops stack for you, which is internal and external chat bots. I can talk about that a little later. And you come to us and we bring you into the AI world in a way in which you can easily understand. You can easily understand by marketing, because marketing is something we all truly understand. Whether we believe it or not is irrelevant, but we all get, look at my ad. Do you want my product? Like, everybody in the world understands that. So it's an easy way to get into AI. And the other way we bring it in is we then take all of your data, and then we can have either your customers or your internal team search all your data and try to get the right answers. So you bring us in and we do that. And then the other thing that we're doing right now is we are preparing you for the LLM. So the one thing that our AI marketing stack does do is it drafts and prepares your content to be included in ChatGPT, Claude, Grok, and so forth. So we are preparing you for that new crossover world. So that's kind of why you would go to us. Your investment would be, we're looking to reduce headcount a little bit because of AI. Unfortunately, that's true. We should talk about that. We're looking to modernize our marketing stack, and we're looking to try to maybe have our internal team really start simple in AI, because I know everybody's using ChatGPT. The owners always typically say, like, how can we harness that in a little bit, you know, where we can kind of use it. So that's why you would bring us in. We kind of work with you.
Okay. So it seems like if they want to, you know, not become Kodak and really get prepared for what's about to happen, they need you, right? Yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem like they would have the expertise or to even know this is happening, that to do it themselves. It seems like you're the shortcut to giving them longevity.
Yeah, I think the easiest way we put it is we're going to modernize your campaign. You know, let AI do the work. That's what we're telling them. So a lot of times the companies contact us. They have two or three, freelancers that are, content writers. They have maybe a freelancer that's doing their paid ads. They have a freelancer doing their social ads. We basically pull all of that in, and we're not saying get rid of everybody, but we streamline that and say, let AI take that work for you. We're going to show you how it takes to work for you. You know, and then here are the business outcomes that you're looking for. So modernizing your marketing to be prepared for the changing world is number one. And step two is modernizing your internal team with a customer service AI product that not only helps your customers, but also helps the internal team. So once we have the conversation, even if you're thinking about it, it makes a lot of sense after we have a conversation. When I listen to your business, what you're doing for marketing, and I go in and say, we created an AI blueprint and say, this is what we're going to do to replace what you're doing right now. This is what AI is going to do for you. And these are the actual business outcomes you can expect.
So they can just contact you on your website, right? How do they schedule a time? I'm assuming it's a complimentary.
Yeah. So our process is easy. So we have about a 30 to 45 minute phone call to get an idea of, what you're thinking. If we think you're a fit or you think we're a fit for you, the next step is we send you basically over a scope of work. And we're like, okay, for the scope of work to happen, it's a very nominal thing. It's just, to show that we're both engaged. So what we do is we go in and we're like, okay, these are the documents we need from you. And what we're going to do is we're going to build you out a prototype. We're going to build you out a prototype marketing AI stack. It's going to take us no more than 5 business days at best. Sometimes we can flip it around quicker. And we're going to build out chatbots. So they give us all that information. And then what we do is we do a demo where we show them the AI stack and we show them the chatbots. 9 out of 10 times the minute we show that to a customer, it's almost you can't unsee what you see. You have to have it. And it's not as expensive as you think. It's not like this crazy price thing, because everything we build on top of ChatGPT, we will build it on top of Google. So it's not our proprietary product. It's our proprietary AI workflow. So that's kind of how it is. So we sell workflows to customers is kind of what it is.
Okay, so they have the 30 to 45 minutes. If they agree, you do the scope of work and you set up a prototype. There's a fee for that, I'm assuming, a nominal fee or whatever. And then if they want it, there's a next step, right?
There's next step. So it's very simple. So it's let's talk. Right. Okay, that's number one. So let's have a conversation. And if we agree to move forward, we then put a scope of work. And then at the scope of work, what we give in front of you, after the scope work's paid for, we build out the models. We then give you an AI blueprint, and then we have the two models for you to test out. And then we kind of do a quick demo, and we let you kind of play around with it. We ask questions. We literally go A to Z. You see everything that the models can do. We even let you ask questions during the call, like unprompted, so we don't know what you're going to ask. Ask something. It'll come back with some answers. Sometimes obviously some clients are AI is overwhelming. Sometimes they're like, okay, well, what's next step? And we tell them, and sometimes they're like, this is a next quarter thing. That's fine too. But when they do want to move forward, we literally put another scope of work in front of them and we basically have a conversation. Do you want us to pilot all of this? We handle all of it. Implementation, even if ad implementation, we run your Google ads, we run all of it. Do you want to work together? Do you have somebody internally to work together? We can all kind of work and we train you and eventually you're in flight. Or do you want to run it totally? You run it all told because you have an internal marketing person and we're just there for maintenance and support. So it's one of three options and we price it that way. That's how we do it. We keep our products very simple. We have an AI marketing stack and we have a communications operations stack, which is your chatbots. The only other product we offer is consulting. That's it. So it's one of three things. It's not like we don't custom fit things and so forth. That's not how we do it. The only thing we're custom fitting is how our workflows would work within your workflow.
When you say marketing stack, mm-hmm. What does that actually mean?
So the marketing stack is a series of GPTs that we have built out. It's the Marketing Brain GPT.
Oh, okay.
That actually talks and works with 5 other GPTs underneath. So the Marketing Brain, let's look at your Marketing Brain is your CMO. And then underneath that, we have a content GPT. Then we have a paid placement GPT. Then we have a social GPT. So anything you think about marketing, we create these little GPTs that work with the mothership. That mothership creates all the tasks that then get distributed to all of our other GPTs underneath it. GPTs do the work and so forth, and it brings it back up to the main GPT. It's a fancy term for you don't need 10 people running your marketing campaign anymore. You need 1 to 2. That's it. And that's what this thing's going to do for you.
I bet the marketing people don't like you.
No. Well, and I'm a 25-year marketing veteran, you know, but it is what it is. You know, I mean, and if you're not offering this to your customers, then, you know, they're not going to be a customer much longer. And at 52, how much longer do I have in the game is the way I look at it. You know, you get to a certain age in your business life, you're like, all right, you know, like I own my own business. My entire existence for my business is to make sure my clients are advancing forward. That's it. I don't really care what my peers or other people think about me. If my clients are moving forward, that's all I care about in an ethical manner. That's it. So that's why we created this. Yeah, is it? I have friends in the industry who weren't overly happy. Like, this isn't really good, man. This is kind of like disruptive. I was like, what do you want to do? It's good for my clients.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things you talk about is the marketing ROI. How is this about that?
So your number one thing in marketing ROI is your customer acquisition cost. How much money are you spending to acquire a customer, a case, whatever it may be, and all the money that goes into a customer acquisition cost. A lot of times your customer acquisition costs could be taken up 40% just by agency or freelancers alone, just because you're paying all that money. So until AI moves into a full automation, meaning they actually place the ads for you, they do all that, that's coming. You still need somebody to implement. So, you know, digital implementer still has to exist. That could be us. That could be you internally. However, all the other stuff can now be run by AI. Content, strategy, creative to a point, you know, although we're like right there on creative. So your 40% that you typically were spending on freelancers or another agency as part of your customer acquisition cost, that should be easily reduced to 10 to 15%. So then you just open up the rest of that money. Where does that money go? Sales, you know, maybe other types of branding. Maybe you're hiring another customer service person, although with certain types of chats, you don't need that. But, or it's the money in your pocket, you know, so that's kind of, or you could lower your price a little bit of your product and go after more of a market share. But that's where
you definitely save them money. I mean, when you say marketing ROI, you deliver on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's your ROI is almost immediate when you engage with us on that. It's literally almost immediate. It's sad. You know, there's a part of me.
I mean,
we'll have a conversation with Len from 10 years ago, and I'd be like, wait. And then I have done marketing. So I come at it from a very different angle. So when I put a spin on what I see, I look at it from a business financial standpoint, then I look at it from a consumer standpoint, and then I look at it from a marketing standpoint. And I say, this is where I think this is going to impact AI and how it'll impact you.
And how do they find you? On Comexis?
Yeah, Comexis.com. You can go right to our blog, our insights. Okay. The other neat thing we're going to roll out next week is what's called our lab, which means we're going to start testing some AI stuff. We're either going to write notes about it. We might do quick videos on it, but save you some time. You know, if it's a product you're looking at, we're going to kind of start testing them and say it's good for this or good for that. So that'll be totally free.
Wow. So. All right. In a minute or less, what do you want to leave people with?
I think you have to really pay attention to the advancements in AI and the disruptions it's going to have on the job force. I think it's going to disrupt quite a few people with AI. And I think you have to, people are telling you that the people who know AI are the ones that are safe, and the ones that don't know AI are the ones that are not going to be safe. I think AI is going to take people even if they know AI. So my advice to you is understand how AI can improve every single thing you're doing with work and make sure you're embracing that right now. Make yourself irreplaceable is what you need to do. Because AI is going to replace people, and it's going to happen. It's already happening. They're all quiet layoffs. It's already happening. And you need to really be prepared for it because it's coming. It's coming for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your generosity, for your genius. I'll call it genius. For your
madman talking, yeah.
Yeah, but really, for seeing the light and pivoting. And so, you know, being there for people and helping us, because it's overwhelming, that's for sure. And thank you for simplifying it as much as you can. So anyway.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, bye, everyone.
Thank you for watching this episode. I started Getting Real with Hillary when I discovered that I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony and wanted to be more of my real self. We can grow together. If you will like the show, subscribe to my channel, and share this episode with your friends and family so that we can have a world that's more real.